And now I invite you once again to take your copy of the Scriptures and turn with me to the 12th chapter of Hebrews for our exposition of the Word of God today. Living Out Faith. The title of today's message is How I Know You're Really Listening. So, in honor of the Lord and His Word, would you please stand with me as we seek His aid to hear and heed His Word. Father, thank You for Your goodness, Your holiness, Your greatness. That You are a merciful God, You are a gracious God. Father, thank You that You have made Yourself known to us. You've revealed Yourself to us so that we can know You and walk with You and serve You with delight. So, Father, as we come to Your Word this morning, may we recognize the high calling and privilege that is ours to engage Your Word, a Word from God. Open our hearts and our minds, Father, that You would teach us from Your Word by Your Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. How I know you're listening. I'm going to start right off with it. It's easy. I know you're listening if God's voice is changing your life. I know you're listening if God's voice is changing your life. Our text for today, verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. It's the warning. Do not refuse him who speaks. In other words, make sure you're paying attention. And I know who's paying attention and who's not. Let me make something very clear. When it talks of him who speaks, it's not referring to me. All right? I'm just a messenger boy. I didn't create the truth. I didn't make truth. Him who speaks is God himself. Remember how the letter to the Hebrews begins? God, who in various times, places, in ways, spoke to the prophets, has in these last days, what? Spoken to us by his Son. It is God who is speaking. I'm just the messenger boy. So it's like if I were to come up here this morning with a suitcase and that suitcase had truth on it, God's revelation, I would set it down, I would open it up, and I would unpack it. And I said, here is God's truth. This is what it looks like. Here's what it means. And you can sit there and say, yes, okay, I recognize that's truth. And you can explain all the truth. You know what it looks like. But the point of it is, are you putting it on? What good is it for you to come in and look at a suitcase full of clothes and then leave without wearing any of it? Okay? So this is how I know you're listening to the one who is speaking. And I'm not referring to myself. Okay? This is God who is speaking. We are speaking about the Word of God, the revelation of God. Make sure you are paying attention to God's revelation. And that is the high privilege that we have every Sunday coming here and opening up our copy of the Scriptures and recognizing that God is speaking to us. You've been in conversations before, haven't you, where you're face to face with somebody and you're speaking to them and you know that they're not with you. Right? You've been there? I'm there all the time. How do you know when somebody's not listening to you? Because they're not looking at you in the eye. They might be going, but they're looking at something else over there. They're acting, you know, their eyes are glazing over, you know, and sometimes, you know, I can see that when eyes are glazing over. I mean, this is pretty obvious, right? So. But when you're in a conversation with somebody and they're not listening to you, they're not with you, they're hearing the words you're saying, but they're not actively listening. They're not engaging what you're saying. In other words, to them, you're just blah, 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 blah. It's in one ear and out the other, right? And you say, yeah, I know. But you're not really listening to what they're saying. And so it is possible when you come to church week after week, or you read the Bible day after day. Yeah, I know. I've read that. Yeah, I know. Blah, 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 blah. Are you listening to the one who is speaking? It says here, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. That word refuse is very interesting. You find it, for example, Luke chapter 14, verse 8. Remember the parable that Jesus gave where this man was putting on a big wedding feast, and he sent his servants out to invite certain particular guests to the wedding. And he goes out and he invites, and all of them give what? Excuses. I cannot come. I cannot come. I just bought a cow. I can't come. I just married a wife. I can't come. They come excuses. Literally, the word means to beg off. Yeah, don't bother me with that. I've got something else going on right now. Yeah, I'll come to church and listen. And I'll listen to a good sermon. And when I go out and shake the pastor's hand at the end, it's a really great sermon, Pastor. Don't do that to me. Because I'm going to ask you a question. Is God's word changing your life? I had a few, after the first morning service, some people came up to me and said, Rich, that was an awful message. Thank you. Why? Because it's not, I'm not up here giving you my opinion. At Grace Bible Church, the Word of God sets the agenda. We are unpacking the Word of God. Who is the one who is speaking? It is God. Look what he says in verse 25. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Who is the speaker? Him who speaks from heaven. The speaker in this context is the infinite sovereign creator. He is speaking. See that you are paying attention. Your maker is talking. Are you paying attention? He is the one, as it said earlier in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, the one with whom we have to do, the one before whom we must give account. Understand this, one day you will be face to face with the one who made you and designed you for one very specific purpose, and that was to know him, to fellowship with him, and to enjoy him. Are you listening? Consider then the power of his voice. The power of his voice. Look at verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth. What is he referring to? His voice shook the earth. He's referring back to verses 18 to 21. Where at Mount Sinai, when God was speaking and he was establishing the covenant with his people Israel, God's presence, God's very presence came down to the top of Mount Sinai. There was thunderings and the whole earth was just shaking. And the people were scared out of their wits. And God, and they said to Moses, Moses, we can't handle this. You go talk to God. And what was Moses' response? Look at it there, verse 21. Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. He was shaking in his boots because he recognized the awesomeness and the majesty of the one he had to go face to face with. This is the one who is speaking. Now, what is he telling us in this verse? Not only did he shake the earth then, but he says, I'm going to speak another time. And when I speak another time, it's not just going to shake the earth. It's going to shake the whole cosmos. The whole thing. He's going to shake things up a bit. He's quoting, the writer of Hebrews is quoting Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. I'm thinking, what illustrates that? You know, what things fall when they're shaken? Well, we lived in Michigan for a while, and up there, there's a lot of cherry orchards. We love cherries. We miss the cherries from up there. You can get them really inexpensive, and they're very, very good. You get them fresh. You know how they pick cherries? They don't go pick them off the tree one by one. This huge machine comes up to a cherry tree, and then it puts this arm out and wraps around the trunk of the tree, and then it spreads out this big canvas webbing underneath it. And it literally rattles the tree. It shakes the tree, and all the cherries that are ripe fall off the tree into that canvas webbing, and it sends it onto a conveyor belt. You see, the cherries, they come and go, they come and go, they come and go. The tree endures. The tree is there all the time. The cherries, they come and they go. And this is the sense that God is going to be doing. That which endures stays. That which comes and goes will fall off. And when God shakes things up, that which does not endure will be falling away. Consider what he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming and day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. For this reason, I believe in global warming. This is biblical global warming. God's going to shake things up. The things that endure will remain. The things that do not endure will be taken away. Now, what are those things? Let's consider that for a moment. He says once more, when he says yet once more, God's going to shake not only the earth but heaven, the whole cosmos, he's going to shake things up. It means once for all. It'll be the last time that he shakes things up like that. The removal of those things that are being shaken. The cherries come and go. They come and go in season, out of season. They come, but the tree endures, the tree remains. What are the things that are going to be falling away? All the things I've trusted to satisfy me and keep me safe. Where are they? Poof, gone. Notice I said all the things I've trusted to satisfy me and keep me safe. They're gone. All the things I've done to look good and impress others, I'll be stripped bare. All the things I've pursued that are not God's character and purpose will become, like Psalm 1 says, the chaff which the wind drives away. The things which cannot be shaken then are what? They are the outflow of my pursuit of God. The things that matter. The things that will matter 100 years from now. The things that will matter 1,000 years from now. Turn on the back of your bulletin if you have one. It's the words to the hymn, How Firm a Foundation. Look with me at the third verse. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only designed thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. That's why God shakes things up. You feel like things are being shaken up and you're shooken. Shaken up. What is that word? It's shaken. That's a good word. Are things being shaken up in your life right now? God is consuming your dross and refining your gold. It's a God thing. And he's going to do it one day when he shakes all of creation. And everything that is not genuine is going to fall away. Everything that is not an outflow of his character and his purpose is going to fall away. This is why we need to be listening to the voice of him who speaks, because that is the power of his voice. Now, the positive side to this is this. Do you realize what God is giving us? Do you realize what God is saying? Do you realize the offer that God is making? Look at verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, a kingdom which cannot be shaken, we are receiving a kingdom. It's an unshakable kingdom. What is that? As Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 2 and 8, we are called to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's what God has for us. What does that mean? This kingdom, this unshakable kingdom, is everything genuine and good. All things as they ought to be, anchored in the beauty and goodness of God's character. That's what he has for us. That's what he has waiting for us. That's where we belong right now. Since we belong there, since God's saying, listen, this is what I have for you. Are you listening to me? Why would you just go blah, 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 blah about that and go searching after something else? It doesn't make sense. This is the warning that the writer of Hebrews is giving us. Because God is giving us an unshakable kingdom. The words are receiving. Therefore, since we are receiving, that is in the present active. It means there, we belong there now. We are getting that now. It is a part of our being now. It is our citizenship now. Consider the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. That's when He shakes things up. So what follows that is what he is challenging us to in this text. Are you listening? Here's what he says in Colossians chapter 3. If then, Colossians chapter 3, you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, what are you looking to for your security and your satisfaction? I mean, practically every day, day to day here on the earth. The cherries come and go in season and out of season, but the tree endures. The tree is going to be rattled. And everything that does not endure will fall off of that. So the Lord is saying, do you understand what I'm giving you? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Why would you go looking for something else in another place? Listen to the words of God. Listen to what God has for you. This is your God speaking. And what are the things that matter? What are the things that last? It's what he says at the latter part of verse 28. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The things that really matter are serving God acceptably. There are two things in this world that last: God's word and the souls of people. Serving God acceptably is investing in those two. That word serve is one of my favorite words in the New Testament. It's often translated worship. It's the word latruo. And it means ministry of service. It means investing in what lasts. It's the word that we find in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is your reasonable service, your reasonable worship. The New American Standard translates that reasonable service of worship. It uses three words to translate one Greek word to try to get the full meaning of it. It's a good word. That's what lasts. The word reverence. Let us have grace, that's the word karin, thankfulness, an attitude of gratitude, because my service of God is an outflow. It's an outflow of who God is. It's an outflow of what He has done for me. That word reverence is the word that actually means modesty. Modesty meaning what? Less of me. It's not about me. I serve God recognizing that I'm not the point, God is the point. I'm not drawing attention to myself for what I do. I am drawing attention to God because my service for Him is an outflow of who He is. So that reverence means the following. It means He increases. It means I decrease. It means I become less concerned about how others perceive me and more compelled to pursue and delight in God. You've heard the statement, perception is reality. Not true in the kingdom of God. Doesn't work. God knows the heart. Perception is reality ought not to be true in the church of God. We don't put up facades so that other people will think of us as we want them to. God knows the heart. So you're less concerned about how others perceive you and more compelled to pursue and delight in God. So this statement, if your ambitions and pursuits draw you away from pursuit of God, can you say that you worship God acceptably? Let me say that again. If your ambitions and pursuits draw you away from your pursuit of God, can you say that you worship God acceptably? Those are the things that will be consumed when God shakes things up in the end. and only you know what they are, you and God. We come then to, once again, the conclusion, and I begin, the conclusion is what I began the message with. How do I know you're listening? How do I know that you're listening to truth? How do I know that you're listening to the voice of God? Well, listening can be in one of two ways. Listening can be like water going through a lead pipe. Right? There's no absorption when water goes through a lead pipe. It just flows right through. It leaves no effect. It just flows right through. And if you're this, if you come to church and you listen, oh, it's a great sermon. I can tell all the clothes that Rich unpacked up there. Yep, I can explain all of them. I can appreciate them, but you don't ever put any of them on. What does that mean? That week after week, day after day, all of your interaction with the Word of God, if you're not listening to the Word of God, your life stays the same. Think about how tragic that is. That you can be engaging the inspired Word of the living God, the transforming power of God's Word, and your life stays the same. You're not listening. You still have all the same fears. You still struggle with the same anxieties. Your responses to when things don't go the way you want them, your responses remain the same. You blow your stack, or you become passive, aggressive. You're still battling the same sins over and over and over again. You've never had victory over them because you're not allowing God to mold your life. Because you're not listening. You're not really listening. You can explain all the clothes that have been unpacked, but you never put them on. That's water through a lead pipe. And that is the warning that the writer of Hebrews gives us in verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Don't beg off. Don't make excuses. Let the Word of God enter into your life and let the voice of truth transform you from the core. Because what Jesus said is, if you have ears to hear, if you have ears to hear, how do you know if you have ears to hear? Well, God gives you ears to hear. To whom is it that God gives ears to hear? To him, as the prophet Isaiah says, who is of a broken and contrite spirit, and what? Who trembles at my word. That is a common principle and truth that we find throughout all the scriptures, and that is that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. If you have a broken and contrite spirit, if you come before God recognizing that it is his voice of truth that transforms you from the inside out, then I know you're listening. And the voice of truth is changing your life. What does that look like? That looks like when God's character flows from your hands, God's character flows from your feet, God's character flows from your mouth, his character flows from your eyes, and it does so with joy. That you're not just doing these things because that's what a Christian ought to do. No, your life is an outflow, a response to the goodness of God and his holiness and his grace. And your life is responding to that because that's what worship is. Worshiping God acceptably is a life of response to who God is because his voice of truth is changing you from the inside out. That's how I know who's listening. I'm speaking to myself too. Do you realize that I have to listen to myself? And I have to listen to myself a whole lot more than you have to listen to me. Because I'm in the office and I'm preparing the Word of God and I'm preparing the message to present to the people of God. This is God's voice speaking. And if it doesn't grip me, do I ever expect that it's going to grip you? Is the voice of truth changing your life? I know you're listening if the voice of truth is changing your life. And it does so with joy because that word karin is the word that means thankfulness. So, it's okay for you to say that was a great message, but I want you to understand, has the Word of God been communicated? And then ask yourself this question. Engage in this personal assessment. In what ways is God's voice of truth changing my life? Because I don't want you to come to church and say, oh, wow, look at all those clothes, all that truth that was unpacked. I can explain every bit of that truth. Fine, but are you putting it on? Then you're listening. That's the warning of the writer of Hebrews today. Don't just be able to know truth and explain it. Let God's truth transform your life into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For our God is a consuming fire. That is the radiance of His purity and His holiness. That's how He's molding us.